Hi there, you're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in North Bushy. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Wonderful. So I just want to go back a little bit to what Magdi was sharing last week. And one of the things that Magdi shared was quoting Jesus when he said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And I'm really struck by that. Really just, it kind of gets me right here, because there's so much a part of me that wants to rely totally on myself. There's so much in me that's like, I can do things on my own. You know, to the point where I might have two kids in my arms, I might be carrying a bag, trying to get the pushchair through the door, and someone says, "Do you need any help?" And I'm like, no, I'm fine, thank you. Like, I want to be independent. I want to be able to do things on my own, to rely fully on myself. And yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a young teenager, and just thinking about, I want to be somebody. I want to be something when I grow older. I would go to Christian festivals like Soul Survivor, and see the worship leaders on the stage, or the preachers preaching to, you know, 10,000 people, and thinking, I want to be like that. I want to be able to be known as someone who is great, because I've done it myself. And then occasionally I'd be kind of in this kind of little dream of mine as a young teenager, thinking, well, some people will come to me and say, "Oh, Dan, that was a great message," or that "you led worship really well there." And I'd be like, no, it was God working inside of me. And people would say, "Oh, he's humble as well." I'd be known as someone, as something. And we can laugh a little bit of kind of slightly silly teenage dreams. But in many ways, I'm still like that. In many ways, I still try and rely on myself and be seen to be someone who is doing something well. And here is Jesus saying, apart from me, except for the work that I'm doing in you, you can do nothing. And for some of us, it's not even the confidence of doing something great. It's not even the sense of, I can do this. It's like, I've got a list of things to do. I've got something to do that needs to be done. And then when it doesn't get done, it makes us feel like I haven't done it. So even the good things, you know, we talk about reading the Bible and praying and joining together in worship, good things. And people, and some of us just feel like, I'm not even matching that. And so we're striving for something because we're trying to do it on our own, trying to get to somewhere that is unachievable, because Jesus says, apart from me, I can do nothing. And so I believe that God wants to take us as a congregation, take us as individuals on a journey that takes us from a place of being completely reliant on ourselves to relying wholly on Jesus through his Holy Spirit. Because that's his desire for us. And so I guess the question for us today is, who do we rely on? Who are we choosing to rely on? On the screen should come a picture of what our front room is currently looking like. It's not actually the best image there. You can't really see it so well. But let me explain it to you. This is our living room. As you can see, it's really comfortable, really lovely. It's exactly what we designed when we decided to move in there. Amidst the drying plaster, you can see wires hanging down. And you can see wires on the wall, and obviously kind of furniture covered. This is kind of, we're not living there at the moment, obviously. This is kind of what our house is at the moment. But I was thinking that those wires there, currently completely lifeless, useless in many ways, that they have potential, but they're useless. Because in and of themselves, they're nothing. They're just wires. And this is something, this is kind of the heart, I believe, of what Jesus is trying to say to us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Until those wires are hooked up to the electric supply, they are nothing. But when they are light. They are heat. They are warmth. They provide a space for us to live in. And this is what Jesus desires for us. Apart from him, we are just wires. Stuck in a wall, useless. But with him, relying wholly on him as the source, we are able to become who he wants us to be. We are able to do something. And I just wonder what it was like for the disciples. We see in the Gospels, the writings of Jesus' life, that the disciples have made many mistakes. They've journeyed with him. They've made many mistakes. They've seen the good things that Jesus has done. They've seen him die. They've seen him rise again. And it's like, okay, so they're with him. And part of me wishes I was there. Seems so easy. Like, you see Jesus do these amazing things, and of course I'm going to live for him. But actually, that's not what happens, because as soon as Jesus goes, they don't know what to do. They become a little bit clueless. In fact, when he's dead, they basically desert him and go their own ways. They have no idea what to do next. And then Jesus rises again. Oh, it's so exciting. And Jesus says to them, as Magdy was saying last week, but wait, I'm going away now. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses. We can't be the witnesses until the Holy Spirit falls. And then amazingly, as we read at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descends on the disciples, and it's like, whoa, this man, Peter, the same Peter who denied Jesus, who deserted him, who went his own way, was suddenly transformed into this man who was like, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, who, by the way, you executed, is both Lord and Messiah. And the proof of this is that he is alive, and now the Holy Spirit is living in me. He's living in us. This is the Holy Spirit, the one who we can rely on, transformed Peter into this man of God who is able to preach. And this is where we take up the story. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2, 37 to 47. When the people heard this, so that's this sermon, this amazing sermon that Peter has preached, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the disciples were transformed. And I was just thinking about how the disciples ended up like this and what they were like before. So we can see that there were many examples of the disciples not being anything like this. And when they were reliant on themselves, they were not able to do anything like this. They needed to be reliant on the Holy Spirit. When they were reliant on themselves, they doubted. They lived in doubt. Matthew 17 has a story where some people come to Jesus and say, "My son, he's got a demon in him. Your disciples couldn't cast it out." And they say, "Jesus, can you do it?" And Jesus says to them, "You don't have the faith." It's not a rebuke in that sense. It's not telling them off. It's saying, look, in me, when you put your trust in me, even the mountains can be moved into the sea. Jesus says to his disciples, when you doubt, when you try and do it on your own, you can do nothing. And again, there are many examples of this. And the disciples were anxious when they were on their own. They were denying Jesus. Peter, for that time after Jesus is arrested, is in that place where he's like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how people are going to react if I'm saying I'm with him. He was anxious. And the disciples were scared so much that they locked the door, even when they knew Jesus was alive. After revealing himself as alive, the 1 week later, when Jesus appears to Thomas, the room was still locked. They were scared, relying on their own. They were scared and anxious. They had earthly perspectives. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What can we do with that? What can I do with 5 loaves and 2 fish? The disciples were at risk of burnout. And we all get tired. We understand that. The disciples were tired. But when Jesus needed his disciples most, when he was pouring his heart out before God, when he was in the garden waiting and knowing what was to come, the disciples were asleep. They were useless to him. On their own, they were at risk of burnout. They were empty. When they went fishing, there are 2 occasions written about in Luke where the disciples went fishing and they caught nothing. Acting in their own strength, relying on themselves, they were empty. And they lived, in one sense, in darkness. Not in physical darkness, but in that sense of, we're on our own. And they didn't stay with Jesus when Jesus needed him most. I wonder if any of this feels true to us. I wonder if we doubt. We doubt who God is. We doubt that we can be used for him. I wonder if we feel anxious and worried. I wonder if we have an earthly perspective. I've got this amount in the bank and I've got these bills to pay. How am I going to do this? How am I going to bring this together? I wonder if we worry about the basic needs of life. When Jesus says to us, "Do not worry about what you will wear. He has it all covered." I wonder if we're at risk of burnout. I wonder if we grow tired because we rely on ourselves. I wonder if we feel empty, barren, as if we're not producing all that we feel God wants us to. I wonder if in some ways we live in darkness. Because that isn't the life that Jesus calls us to, that the Holy Spirit desires for us. When the Holy Spirit is inside of us and we rely on him, we move from that place of doubt and anxiety and burnout to a place of belief and confidence and believing in the supernatural. In this passage, we see how Peter's been transformed. He believes in Jesus. He's prepared to stand in front of a crowd and say, "Jesus is Lord." He has the confidence that he is true. He is the way. He is the life. He believes in the supernatural. We see throughout Acts, just after the end of this story, that Peter says, "I don't have the money, but what I have to you, I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." This man transformed from lame to walking. The apostles and the disciples go from a place of not being able to cast out demons to a place of living in the supernatural, of healing, of prophecy, of living a life for the Lord. Living life to the full, full of joy, being fruitful, when Jesus enters the frame, the fish that weren't there in the net, suddenly the nets are full. But more than that, Jesus says to the disciples right at the beginning of his ministry, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." And here we see, and on that day, 3,000 were added to their number. What was said 3 years ago is suddenly true. They are suddenly fruitful. They are suddenly reliant on the Holy Spirit, and look what God can do through them. I want that life. I don't want to be reliant on myself. I remember when I first experienced something of this back when I was 15, and we were asked as a youth group at our church to go and do Soul in the City, which was a bunch of projects in London that were designed to bring love and spread joy throughout London. And the project that we were part of was to go and set up a football tournament and use it as an opportunity to invite the guys who were playing football to some evening events where they would hear the truth about Jesus. And for 4 days, I gave my best. I was giving out flyers. I was talking to people. I was inviting to people. And nobody came. And I remember thinking on the Thursday evening, this is such a waste of time. God, why am I bothering with this? Apart from to play football. And I said, look, I can't do it. I cannot do this. Lord, it's over to you. And the next day, when people gathered for the football tournament and said, do you want to come to this? Oh, maybe, maybe. They turned up. And the team that actually won the tournament gave their lives to Jesus. And God said to me, Dan, in one sense, I don't need you. I love you enough to let you do it your way. Will you love me enough to let me do it my way? Because when we rely on the Holy Spirit, we move from that place of almost despair to a place of joy and life that enables us to live for Him. And 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is how the church started. And it doesn't just stop there, because the 3,000, it says the very next sentence in our Bibles today, there's a gap there. There's a phrase or a title saying the fellowship of the believers. But in truth, it was written as one passage, and it said 3,000 were added to their number, and so they devoted themselves. This is what the church is. And the church is a community. A community together. It's the community of our dreams. If we look at this, it's like, whoa, wouldn't it have been so good to be part of that? Imagine being part of a community that is so caring for each other that it doesn't matter whether you've got lots or you've got little. We're all together in this. Those who have lots will give to those who have little. And whether it's money or whether it's ability to cook food or whether it's the ability to look after kids or whatever it is, this is a community that sounds, whoa, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of this church. And the thing is, we could look at this as a list of things to do. If we were looking at this in our own strength, relying on ourselves, it'd be like, okay, I've got to listen to the teaching. All right, I'll go to church this Sunday. I'll listen to it. That's great. I've got to talk with people after Sunday. That sounds all right. I'll do that if I have to. Okay, we'll get through communion and then we'll pray. And we've all been part of meetings like that, haven't we? Where you've gone and thought, the Holy Spirit wasn't here. We've prayed, yes, but the Holy Spirit wasn't here. Or we've been part of teaching, but the Holy Spirit wasn't here. And when we rely on ourselves, this just becomes another list of things to do. But when we rely on the Holy Spirit, as the disciples did here, as that 3,000 did here, it becomes this amazing community. And it's not just the apostles' teaching. I mean, so we have access to the apostles' teaching through reading the Bible. As we understand and read the scriptures, this is how we get to know Jesus. This is how, and it is when the Holy Spirit is inside of us, it's not just reading the Bible. I've been there, I've sat there and I've read the Bible and thought, what on earth am I doing? And it's because I've been trying to read it in my own strength, relying on myself. But when we rely on Jesus, it's suddenly life-giving. This is how I should live a life that is amazing, part of a community that is growing and thriving. We can fellowship and love together. And you know, being part of this congregation, I see this all the time. Over the past few months, people have given wonderfully to our family. in so many different ways, in cooking meals just after Eva was born and helping us clean a house and things like that. It's the community to be part of. But when we do it ourselves, it feels like such a chore. But when the Holy Spirit's inside of us, we're part of the church. We're together, we're united. We're giving what we have to serve each other. What Jesus desires for us. To the breaking of bread and to communion, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave us. The reason we have the Holy Spirit, whom we can rely on, is because of Jesus' death and because of his resurrection, he now lives inside of us, making us clean, making us pure, giving us a relationship with Jesus forever. And as they took communion and they fellowshiped together, it was like it was all intertwined. They'd be in each other's houses and they'd be having a meal together. And then they'd break bread and remember the reason they're there together in the first place is because of Jesus. The community together because of Jesus. And when they prayed, oh, what prayers they must have been. Because when they prayed, things happened. Peter was released from jail miraculously. People were raised from the dead. People were healed. Saul was stoned and was nearly died. But when the community of believers gather around him, he's alive again. Because they were reliant on the Holy Spirit. And yeah, the disciples were amazing at giving their lives wholeheartedly to what the Spirit wanted to do. And they also imparted something into those new believers that meant this was something worth living for. Because the Holy Spirit, as he fell on them, changed those new believers. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And a couple of weeks ago, I was reflecting on this particular verse and thinking, how on earth did that happen? How did God, I think my question was, how did the disciples lead people to a place where daily lives are being changed and being given to Jesus? And I've made it part of my prayer life since. Lord, show us. And it's become clear to me that if we rely on the Holy Spirit, it's not about me or the ministry of this church or even how great the church is across the whole country. It's because we're relying on the Holy Spirit. And what's amazing is it wasn't reliant on a bunch of 12 people who spent all their time with Jesus. 3,000 were added to their number. And because they had the Holy Spirit inside of them, it spread like wildfire. All it took was the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at this final verse, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. We can see that this is a Holy Spirit-filled church. It wasn't a church that gathered in thousands together in one place. It was a church that met together in homes and knew each other intimately in different places. But together, they were the church. And we need to remember about the Holy Spirit that he is a person and not a power. We don't tap into him like we do electricity. And suddenly things work. We can only become the people God wants us to be by giving our lives to the Holy Spirit, becoming completely reliant on him. It says here, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was not the disciples. It was not the people who heard them in the first place. It was the Lord through his Holy Spirit working in people because he is a person, not a power. And when the question is asked, who do we rely on? We rely on a person. Not some trick that can be bought. Not some action that can be seen. He is a person, not a power. And also, we need to remember that we are a people, not a service. What I mean by that, church cannot be diluted down into a Sunday, an hour and a half in one place. We are a people, not a service. We are a church, not a building. We are in a place where together we can make a difference because it's us together. It's not about what we do on a Sunday. That's important. We're not going to stop meeting on a Sunday. I'm not announcing that here. But we can only be the church because we're a people. And so it works through the week. It works in every area of our lives. The Lord added to their number daily. It wasn't the Lord added to their number one Sunday after the next and suddenly the church grew. The church has to be the church together because we are doing his work wherever we are. But of course, it's not us on our own. Reliant on the Holy Spirit. When we're reliant on the Holy Spirit, we can believe that he's going to bring transformation wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we play, whatever it is. He can add to our number daily because we are his people and we're not just a Sunday. And finally, it is a relationship. It's not a program. Can you imagine if the disciples, when they sat down right at the beginning of the Holy Spirit coming, saying, okay, we need to minute this. We need to decide exactly how we're going to use the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to have a bunch of outreach events. We'll have a bouncy castle. We'll make things really kind of exciting for people. And then we'll invite them in. And then we'll put them on a tea and coffee rotor. And then we'll, you know, that's discipleship. No. They invited the people into a relationship with the living God, with the Holy Spirit, who is able to do in them so much more than it is that we can do. It's a relationship, not a program. We're in a place where we can know God and invite people to know him. And for myself and for the rest of the team, the congregational team here, we don't want this to be a program, something we do, something that we burden ourselves with each Sunday. We want to do this because we believe that having a relationship with Jesus is the greatest thing we can do. No, there is no greater thing. Reliant on the Holy Spirit, we can be a people that invites others into a relationship with him. As I said earlier, our house is fairly chaotic at the moment. And Helen and I are in a place where we're not getting to see each other quite as much as we once did. I mean, it's family life. It's what happens in many ways. But also, we're doing the house. And we're in a place where for most evenings of the week, we're not together. And, you know, that's sometimes a season that you're in. But we were sitting there yesterday. And for the first time this week, we were able to sit down and kind of, like, I could reintroduce myself again and say, hello, I'm Dan. Nice to see you again. But we were talking about the relationship is so much more than what we're doing together. You know, I don't need to know that Helen is a great mum. I don't need to know that she's a great cook and that she's able to do the housework and that she's able to that we're able to put a program of things together so that we're able to move back into our house in a couple of weeks. I don't need to know any of those things. I don't even need to know that she's a great wife. I just need to know her. Because knowing her is what will enable us to have a relationship for the next 50, 60 years, however long it is. It's not about what we can do together. Houses will come, they will go. Children will come and eventually go, maybe, one day. Times will change. But for our relationship to thrive, we need to rely on our relationship, not on the things we do. And as Nathan and Meredith and the guys come back up, I want us to be reminded to fix our eyes on this thought, that in order that we can be all that God wants us to be, we need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time with him. We need to allow him to move inside of us so that we know him. We know who he is. And allow him to move inside of us. And so we're going to spend the next few moments, however long it takes, just allowing his Holy Spirit to move inside of us. And we want to welcome him here into this place so that we would know him better. When we were on holiday a couple of weeks ago, we decided we were going to go to the beach. And we drove up, we pulled into the car park, got the kids out, and Luke and Josh were so excited because they ran straight for this enormous puddle in the car park. Stones all around it, they could throw into the puddle. They were having a great time. And then I said to them, over there is the biggest puddle that you can imagine. There's the biggest puddle, the biggest rocks. All we need to do is walk a little bit further. And here they are, splashing around in the shallows. Not seeing that there's an ocean all the way over there. And I believe what God wants to do inside of us today is to take us from splashing around in the puddles of his love, of knowing that that's all there is to know of God, because there's an ocean just round the corner. There is an ocean that God wants to take us into. That he's going to lead us into. And we can know him and his love.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.